This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, if you missed it, there's a new champion in Take-A-Mania, and his name is Deion Sanders, for his take on the controversy over the retirement of really his son's jersey. Travis Hunter, I think people get. He won the Heisman. He's an actual All-American. Shadur is just a good college quarterback who went 13-12 in two seasons.
13-13, including the bowl game.
I'm including the bowl game in there.
On a team that didn't even win a bowl game while they were there.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And he wins it mostly because every single thing Deion said in defending the situation was the perfect argument against Shadur Sanders getting. It was pretty impressive. And just like Deion's owning himself every time with almost everything he said.
Yeah, he's making the argument against himself. It was, which made it an extremely poor take, and the new reigning defending champion of our Friday staple at 9 o'clock, Take-A-Mania. Now, speaking of Shadur, I think Shadur is to me, easily the most intriguing story going into round one next Thursday. Just did a workout yesterday for the Giants, which still leaves open the possibility he could go as high as 3. But Adam Schefter said yesterday, man, the range inside which Shadur Sanders could go in the draft next week is really wide.
If the Giants aren't taking Shadur at 3, and if the Saints aren't taking Shadur at 9, now let's start to think and wonder about where
Pittsburgh?
Shadur Sanders is going to go in the, well, Laura, that is the spot that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
But would there be a team that jumps up in front of the Steelers? Do they value Shadur Sanders enough to do that? Would the Giants go ahead and take him at 3? Because right now, it certainly feels like his range, which is a wide range, wider than most players in a draft, is 3-21, and I don't like the chances of him going 9. That's the way I think it's shaping up as we head a week out.
No, we should just, again, and Schefter did it, but just to attach teams to these numbers that are getting thrown around, Giants are picking 3rd, Saints are picking 9th, the Steelers are picking 21st. These are all spots in the draft that Shadur Sanders has been mocked to by various people. What's really interesting, Seth, we spent some time on Aaron Rodgers today a couple of times. These two stories are kind of intertwined almost in that Aaron Rodgers is a guy who a lot of people think has a high chance, if he does play football, goes to the Steelers. But the Steelers might need to figure something out next Thursday. Like if they watch that interview with McAfee where Rodgers still doesn't know what he's doing, doesn't sound like a guy who's making a decision anytime soon. They might need to move on, and if Shadur Sanders is there, either take him at 21 or move up and go get him.
And the whole thing is that it's just kind of a weird year in the draft where Shadur Sanders isn't like a slam dunk type of guy that would typically be a top 3 pick in any draft or anything like that. But he is very much enough of a prospect that it's not dumb to take him first, second, or third overall, depending on what the draft class is like. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like drafting Desmond Ridder in the first round or something.
Need a quarterback.
Right. And it's also just, and it's a year where kind of the way the dominoes have fallen, it makes sense that he could go any number of places. So it's as much about him being not a slam dunk, oh yeah, this guy's a top 3 pick, but then also when you lay out the QB situations of everybody else in the draft, It could be anywhere all over the place. I would feel more comfortable if you could go back in time, and this is hard to do knowing how it all worked out, but I'm trying to think, like, let's say Shadur Sanders was it 2021 when Trey Lance was drafted?
Yes, it was.
Like, if it's 2021, Trevor Lawrence goes, then Zach Wilson goes. Try to ignore your hindsight. Yeah. But then if at number 3, if you had heard that the 49ers traded up after two quarterbacks were off the board already for Shedeur Sanders, I think I'd still be skeptical of how much they gave up to trade there.
They gave up a lot, yeah.
But I would rather, I think, everything else being equal, I think I would have felt more comfortable with Shedeur Sanders at that point. Like, regardless of how much they traded in that draft,
yeah,
give me Shedeur Sanders over Trey Lance.
Yeah, for sure. Well, remember Trey Lance had hardly played any college football because of COVID the year before. And
I mean, that's a tough draft class because then you still got Justin Fields and Mac Jones.
Well,
remember when the
Niners didn't make that trade on draft night. They made that trade up like several weeks before the draft because the rumors were that it was going to be Mac Jones they were going to take at three for a long time.
Right.
They ended up taking Trey Lance. Turns out
that's
neither.
A loader. Now you could also, but by the same token, I can look at that draft class and say, yeah, Shedeur might have been the sixth quarterback taken that year.
Yeah. Like, people really like Justin Fields, I think, was taken, you just said, at 11 right there by the Bears.
The hard thing with Shedeur is that a lot of what I think people are banking on with him, the things that he does well, are things that are hard to project in the NFL because his anticipation, his football IQ, his ability to read coverages, those are the kinds of things that people felt highly about Drew Brees at the time. It's just hard to know, especially back then when Drew Brees was playing in a spread. Like, all right, how's that translate to the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Shedeur's got a little bit of that flavor to him.
I thought this was interesting. This was Dan Orlovsky talking, the exact topic you're talking about, Seth, like how hard it is to evaluate quarterbacks, period, as far as going from college to pro, but specific with Shedeur Sanders on why it was so tough. He said this is the toughest quarterback to evaluate in the 7 years that he's been doing TV.
QB3 is closer to QB2 for me than QB2 is to QB1. I like Shedeur. I think Shedeur does a lot of good stuff on tape. It's hard to find stuff that you're wowed on tape. Like, I'd go with my list of stuff that I liked. Shedeur, number one, he rhythm, timing, and ball placement are really good. Not great, but they're really good. Rhythm, timing, ball placement. He's tough as nails, tough as heck. I think he climbs the pocket and navigates the pocket when he wants to pretty well. The holdup for me with Shedeur, and I've said this, Ross, is it's the hardest evaluation that I've had to do with these quarterbacks in the 7 years that I've been in TV, because 50% of his snaps are at or behind the line of scrimmage, it feels like. You just want your screen after RPO after screen after RPO, and so you're sitting there going, you're not taking a guy early because of that. You know, while it's operated well, you're not drafted a quarterback early because of that, so half of his snaps throw away. A quarter of his snaps, the offensive line pass protection is so freaking bad that you're like, I don't care who you are, you're not doing anything with it. So then you're...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For me, I'm 25% of the snaps I get to really try to like dive into and really figure out.
I thought that was interesting, you know, like that you just crumple up and throw away, you know, 75% of the tape because it's just, it's stuff that doesn't translate at all to the NFL.
And it doesn't translate, and yet at the same time, it's, you know, you can't quite use it as a specific knock against them that was what worked in that offense, especially on a team where you don't have a good offensive line. I mean, that was one of the questions about Pat Mahomes was, boy, They really ran a lot of screens and quick game and everything and short stuff. So I don't know about that.
Yeah. I think if you're the Texans and you're a Texan fan, because you're probably a Texan fan right now listening, going, well, we're not going to draft Shedeur. Why do I care? I do think on draft night next week, there's two things to watch for. One is do any of the tippy top prospects start to drift into the teens that the Texans or you as a Texan fan may want in on? You and I talked earlier in the show, like they were Texans are sitting at 25. Back in 2017, they traded a future first to move from 25 to 12 to draft a quarterback, Deshaun Watson. What if Tyler Warren were sitting there at 12 and the Texans chose out of nowhere, it would feel out of nowhere, to upgrade their tight end room and trade a first? That would be fun. I think the other thing, though, relative to quarterbacks, is if you're a Texan fan, you're rooting for these quarterbacks like Shedeur Sanders, like Jackson Dart, to be slipping into the 20s. Because I think there's a lot of fans out there, maybe not necessarily the ones that are at the draft party that night, because that would be a bit of a popcorn fart for the Texans to not make a pick when you go there. But for the betterment of the team overall, I'm kind of rooting for there to be one or two of these quarterbacks, or over the next few days for the Milroes or the Shucks of the world to get some first-round buzz, to where that 25th overall pick, you can kind of eBay that thing. You know, you can put the for sale sign in front of that 25th pick and see what it is people are offering. And especially because when people are looking to move up to go get a quarterback, there's a chance for you to charge an inflated price for that, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing I think if you're a Texan fan to be watching and hoping for, is that Shedeur starts to slip and nobody touches Jackson Dart till you get to the 20s. And maybe some other guys are getting some Milroes at the draft, you know, Jalen Milroe's going to be there. Maybe he's thinking he's going to be a first round pick, that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, the amount of just the quarterback rankings and whatever seemingly have shifted and changing all over the place. If you look at the Texans, the team's immediately behind them to where somebody might want to leapfrog up in front of them. The Rams are really interesting.
Yes.
I mean, the Rams are immediately after him. At some point, Matt Stafford's wife is going to let him retire, and they're going to want to do something. Ravens and Lions, probably not. Commanders, hell no. I mean, the Rams are really the team that teams might look that, okay, we gotta jump up to 25 if we want to get this quarterback.
Well, or every team picking at the top of the second round, you know, that so they're all bad teams that didn't want to pick a quarterback with the second or third pick, but they'll do it with the 25th pick if they can move up nine spots.
That part of it actually plays out really well. If you look at after the Steelers, look at the teams before and after the Texans that are definitely not going to want a quarterback. It goes Chargers, Packers, Vikings, then the Texans, and then immediately after the Texans, you have the Rams, and then immediately after the Rams, the Ravens and Lions. I mean, so the Rams are the one team in that whole window that might really want to take a quarterback, especially a guy that might be a bit of a project for a year or two.
Yeah.
That's a sweet spot for somebody to trade up to.
So those bad teams at the top of the second round, you know, the Browns pass on a quarterback in the first round. Well, they may call up the Texans just to leapfrog to your point. Leapfrog the Rams there and get up to 25. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on, and it would make the sense. I mean, that's generally the way it goes at the back half of the draft, the first round anyways, because those are better teams. So after the Rams, it's Ravens, Lions, Commanders, Bills, Chiefs, Eagles.
Yeah.
Like, the Rams are the only team smack dab in that 10 pick scenario that might be interested in a quarterback.
Boy, and that would be fun if it was Cleveland moving up to 25 and you trade back with them, and then you have the first pick of the second round, which is kind of a fun spot because you got all day on Friday. You basically have the first overall pick again. It's just, you know, the first round is done, and now you've got the first overall pick of what's left of the draft.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that. Yeah. If the Texans traded back and got 33, that makes for a fun radio show.
I like the scenario you're painting.
That's
it,
man. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, for us. Do it for us,
Do it for us, yeah. Quarterback
trade
slippage.
Back Jackson Dart at 25 to the Cleveland Browns.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Amen. All right, final segment coming up. Let's get ready for this Rocket series. Top storylines here for this series with the Golden State Warriors. Really, it just comes down to a whole lot of hate, but we'll talk about that. And Fred VanVleet on one of his had a great cut on one of the more pivotal Rockets in this series coming up. We'll discuss that coming up next.